freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock here has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk. Hope you had a great, great Memorial Day weekend. We're here on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. This chair is warm. Yeah. Lydia left. Did you leave the chair warm yesterday? What were you doing in here yesterday with Stacey? My chair's all warm.
It's actually where C. Raj was sitting.
All right.
That would be Curtis.
C. Raj left it warm. Okay.
Muy caliente.
Great job yesterday morning. Muy caliente. Great job yesterday morning. Ton of fun. Woke up early to listen to Lydia and Stacey fill in for us, and then Curtis Rogers filling in for Clayton. It was a good day here on 710. And then, Brock, as normal, the Mariners win. That's just kind of what they do.
Yes.
This isn't even really a story anymore. We just sort of come in. There's no excitement. There's no reason to get excited. Just sort of what happens. Like, you watch the Mariners game. They go down a little bit early. And then by the end of the game, they find a way to win a one-run game. It's just sort of the norm. Right? It's just a normal day. There's no reason to keep playing the song. It's not exciting. Mariners win again. Fine.
So in San Salvador, El Salvador, where I was for the last 5 days, it's about an hour ahead. And each night, and they were busy days, long days, I laid my head down, and the Mariners would be losing, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to bed. Literally, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. They're down 1-0. They're down 2-1. Like, every single night, it was the same story. Like, man, bats just can't get going, but good starting pitching, well-pitched game. And then I'd go to bed, and then at like 2 in the morning, I'd wake up to have to go to the bathroom because I wasn't used to more than 4 hours sleep.
And because you're getting old.
And I'm getting old, and I'd, of course, have to check my phone, and they won.
Of course.
And one night it was Healy, one night it was Seager, one night it was Cruz, and one night it was Mr. Zunino.
Yeah, one night it was. I said that it wasn't exciting anymore, and it's not. I mean, now you just, you know, walk off wins and, like, you know, 2-1, 3-2. Diaz comes in for another routine one-run save. Like, these things aren't even exciting to me anymore. They're just sort of passe. But Aaron Goldsmith's still pretty excited when you hit a walk-off home run.
The 2-2. Swing, line drive. This game is over! Home run, Porch. Punch your ticket, Mike Zunino, for the second straight year, a walked-off bomb against the Twins, and they are ready to pounce on him at home plate. Absolutely crushed purple Gatorade everywhere. He wins it in the 12th 4-3-year final. The Mariners have won this series against the Twins.
Purple Gatorade everywhere, and a very excited Aaron Goldsmith. True confession, I have listened to that, what, 6 times already this
yes.
morning? I just can't get enough of his excitement level. It's awesome. So good. So, Brock, how do you explain it? How do you explain the Mariners' bizarre success so far? And we're going to go through a good news segment here in 30 minutes, tell you all the stats that explain why the Mariners are where they are, but how do you explain it? What do you think has been... Because it is bizarre. It is not a normal 13 games above 500.
No.
It is a strange, wacky, wonderful, and weird 13 games above 500.
Yeah, I land, baseball-wise, I land on the bullpen. I land on Eddie Diaz. I put so much and give him so much credit right at his feet that, you know, he has just been nearly automatic and at times totally unhittable. The guys are just, it's embarrassing to watch some of the swings of those guys when they get in the box and try to face him. That he is, and we saw it a couple years ago when Fernando Rodney had a brilliant year. When that caboose is as strong, you start to back that thing up from there, and a bullpen comes together. So to me, I think the overriding factor and the confidence with that is the bullpen with Eddie Diaz. And right alongside of it is an off-the-field mentality, whereas, you know, momentum is nothing in baseball, but tomorrow's starting pitcher, I think you can start to believe you can finish. That there is just no lead you can't overcome, that there's no inning that it's too late, that you have 16 come from behind wins, and the majority, more than the majority of those, are six innings or later. That there just creates that kind of mindset. Those would be the two factors on and off the field.
Can I offer a word for Brock? Because he has come back from international travels, has been speaking Spanish all this morning. He's basically fluent at this point. One word that I used to tell, my dad taught me when I was younger and I was playing softball, was ganas. Which is just a desire to win.
We will win.
Yeah. So we would always say that when we were playing.
I thought that was the stuff that bats leave in a cave. Isn't that ganas? It's close to that, right?
Debbie Downer, strikes again. No, it's not. No, it's not.
What is that? Okay. Guano? It's close. It's pretty close.
I mean, not at all, but okay.
Lydia, don't be offended about the seat being warm comment. Man, ever since then, I've sensed a little bitterness from the other
room.
Dude,
she's coming after you.
She turned down my music, and then this. Like, all right, I see what's going on. I see what's going on over there.
She's coming after your
job. I was trying to throw you like a pep softball, and you just sort of shot it down.
Boy, Ganas.
Ganas.
That's the stuff bats. I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. I don't know why you guys don't know about that. I saw it on planet Earth. There's a lot of reasons. I think desire and will to win, chemistry, throw it all in there, talent, confidence. I think confidence is probably the word I would use above chemistry, built over the last couple of years. Timeliness. I mean, some of it's just been good luck in terms of when you've scored runs and this, that, and the other. But yeah, Brock, at the end of it, it doesn't always come down to pitching. And while you point to the bullpen, I'll probably turn actually to the starting rotation that is not supposed to be as good as it is. You know, the bullpen is going to kind of go up. They're going to go down. All those guys are in a good run right now. But other than James Paxton, who did you expect this from? Leak, LeBlanc, Marco Gonzalez? And I guess what's interesting about them is they seem to be, in my mind anyway, zigging while everybody else is zagging. While the game right now is all about power arms and everybody one right after another and every starter's throwing 96, 96. Well, this is the opposite of that. You kind of go through what they're doing. All right, Paxton's obviously throwing hard and he's a different species, but Leak with the sinker and LeBlanc with a changeup and Marco with a cutter curve combination. They're not just, you know, Felix with his batting practice fastballs. There's not that normal 95 mile an hour over and over again right-handed power that I think you kind of get used to seeing. And when you're doing something different from everybody else, and then, by the way, after seeing 89 to 92 all day, you've got the rest of this bullpen crew coming in throwing 95 to 97. It looks even faster. I really like that they are going in a different direction from everybody else, and as Scott Servais knows, that's what works.
You know, again, pitching. Pitching's the name of the game. It's been a crazy run we've been on, and like I said, it seems like every day I'm saying the same thing. It's just driven by the consistency of our starting pitching, and now the bullpen has been really good for a long stretch.
Well, remember when Wet Blanket came on here and said, eventually the Mariners have to have somebody in their rotation under a 5 ERA? Remember when Wet Blanket said that?
Sure.
Jeff Passan just a few weeks ago. Look now. Wade LeBlanc's at a 2.7. James Paxton's at a 3.1 after 19.1 innings without an earned run. Marco has shaved his ERA down to 3.6. Even Mike Leake has gotten under that 5.0 ERA barrier with an amazing outing over the weekend. So now you've got, three of those guys sitting there at 3.6 and under. That's how you start to... How you start to rattle off 9 out of 10, Salk. How you start to look up at the Astros, and just a game back, 53 games into
this
season.
Really amazing. And yet, as you're watching, guys just continue to drop like flies. And D. Gordon finally going to get him back on Thursday. Segura, you had your pick as to which injury was going to end up being the problem for Segura. It wasn't when he plowed into the plate and hurt his shoulder. It wasn't until, the next day when he got kicked in the head that finally Segura had to be taken out of a game and miss a few. Looks like he will return tonight. So, you know, you're getting close. Tonight you'll get Segura back. Two more games, and then you get D. Gordon back on Thursday.
And the beauty of this, Salk, is April and May, is you got above 500. You did it with your lineup, right? We started to see that lineup come together and put together a ton of 4-plus run games, and their record was...
And they'll be back.
Yeah, and they will be back. And while they're out, guess who kind of picks it up? Who starts rowing, you know, is the old P.J. Fleck. You know, row the boat, man. Row this Mariner boat here. And if the lineup isn't doing it, starting rotation better. And if the starting rotation isn't doing it, then the lineup better do it. And then all the way along, the guy that's been in the back has been Eddie Diaz getting it done.
And when none of those guys do it or you look like you need reinforcements, in steps Jerry DePoto to make one of the better trades that I think he traded nothing for something. That's how I'll look at this trade that he made on Friday, and we'll discuss in a little greater detail. But in acquiring a really good back end of the bullpen reliever and a guy who can play some outfield for you and start pretty often, he traded nothing for something. The only thing he used was the one resource he had, which is money. So Jerry DePoto's creativity continuing to come in handy. Would love to see him extended at some point. And then the Mariners just keep on winning. What'd you say, one game behind Houston? How is that even possible?
Yeah! Baseball!
One game behind Houston. The mighty Astros. One game up on the Mariners entering play today. Really amazing. Fun to watch. Great Memorial Day weekend. Back at it tonight. 7:10 start. Free game at 6. 7:10 ESPN Seattle at 7:10. Time for Need to Know.
Need to Know. The voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, it was a great holiday weekend for the Mariners, who have now won 4 in a row. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and essentially all of them are one-run wins. Sweep the Twins Friday and through Sunday. Handled the Rangers yesterday in a 2-1 win. Marco Gonzalez, brilliant once again. 6 2/3 innings, 4 hits, 0 earned runs, just the 1 run, which was unearned. Pitching has been the key, man, and we'll go through some of these numbers at 7:30. Starters other than Felix have all been tremendous. The bullpen has been nails, and all you need are a couple of big hits a night. The Mariners find a way to win 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, whatever it may be. That's a group that believes in itself right now, and there's purple Gatorade everywhere.
Yeah, I am just I'm a little blurry-eyed this morning. I'll admit it. It's a long travel day back from beautiful El Salvador yesterday. I'm blurry-eyed, and I still can't believe what I'm looking at here. As you just look at these standings in baseball, of where this team sits without real contributions from Felix, who's still struggling to find his way consistently. With Robbie Cano out, and look at their record when Robbie's been on the sidelines. With Nelson Cruz not yet finding his footing as he's been largely banged up this season. I mean, Kyle Seager still hitting under 225. I mean, the guys that you would really count on. That old adage, if you're going to have a great season, your best players need to rise to the occasion. That's not been the situation for the Mariners. It's been so many just gems that you have found. It's been amazing growth and development out of Marco Gonzalez and Eddie Diaz. It's become the star of this team, in my opinion. And because of it, yeah, you're 33-20, just one game back at 1/3 of the way through this season. You're not even talking wild card right now. You're actually talking division.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Jared Depoto traded nothing for something. A pretty impressive deal on Friday. Major trade for the Mariners, who addressed two of their biggest needs all in one deal. Acquire reliever Alex Colomay and outfielder Denard Span in a swap for the Rays. Gave up a couple guys. One that you've seen in Andrew Moore, who looks like he's got a ceiling as maybe a fourth or fifth starter in the league. And a young player who was drafted in the 15th round just a couple years ago. So, yeah, didn't give up a ton. What they did do was buy players, and that's what they need to be doing at this stage. The Mariners have the leftover money that they got back from the Robinson Cano suspension, and they used it to take some salary off the hands of the Rays. Colomay, by the way, you get 2.5 years of club control, so if he's good, you got him here at the back end of your pen to pair with Diaz for quite a few years. So at the end of the day, he addressed their needs, did it in a creative way, and still left enough money and prospects if they want to go get a starting pitcher later in the year to be able to do that. Very impressive.
Yeah, fiscally creative would be the way I look at this deal. I know you were excited. It's not many times, and John Morosi is going to join us here at 8 as our baseball insider on Tuesdays. It's not many times that you see a move just applauded by everybody. I think even the Keith Laws of the world, I think even the wettest of blankets would look at this deal and say, yeah, that's pretty savvy. That's pretty smart. Spend about $5 million of the $11 million you have, so you still have some money left in the kitty if you want to do something over the next 3 or 4 weeks. And you got legit big league guys. You didn't get 4A players. You got Denard Span, who is a legit fourth outfielder in this league. And Colomay was a star last year for Tampa. Wasn't he their all-star at the back end of their rotation 2 years ago? And you pair that now with Eddie Diaz. Yeah, that's good news, good news, good news. Oh, and by the way, that's coming in 15 minutes.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, it is finals time for the winter sports. Well, Brock, tell you about the shocking conclusion to the basketball games over the week. Nobody could have expected. Nobody could have seen these coming. Tell you what you actually couldn't have seen coming, at least at the beginning of the year, was the Vegas Golden Knights. They are now up 1-0 in the Stanley Cup Final. Beat the Capitals 6-4 last night after the craziest, most bizarre pregame show I've ever seen to anything. I mean, there was nothing about that that was even remotely similar to the NHL that I grew up with, but it was a blast to watch. And the hockey that took place afterwards absolutely was classic. That Vegas team is thumping. They are physical, they are fast, and they now lead 1-0 in that series.
Yeah, well, the Hewitt clan got home about 7:15 last night, which was about the third quarter when the Warriors started to make their run, and Titus was bouncing off the couch. Haley was just mouth agape at what Steph Curry and crew could do, and unfortunately for Houston, they just could not hit a shot. 25-plus consecutive missed three-pointers doomed them. James Harden, his lack of intensity and any defensive effort at all, doomed them, and it's going to be for the fourth consecutive year. And LeBron James' 8th consecutive year, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors playing for it all.
Those are three things you need to know. Hey, what was the result of LeBron getting to the finals? Are you?
Oh, yeah, Howdy's going to have lunch. We're going to either do it Friday or next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, depending on his schedule. So
the cut into my iron deficiency that day.
Yeah, the Celtics were up 10 at half in that game. We saw a little bit of that. Yeah, they were up 10, and they just...
Great writing, by the way, there. Don't you think, Howdy?
Who could have seen it coming
during
that game?
They put the Celtics up 10. They put the Warriors down 11 yesterday. Really good writing, but at the end, found a way. The good guys always win, Brock,
How could you even write that in the preseason? Like, look at this team in the preseason and then think, how could they possibly be here? It's unimaginable.
It really is. It's very, very shocking. We're all shocked here on the Brock and Salk Show. Let's talk to the professor who's never shocked.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to totally break everything down.
Plus. A wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
It was great. What a great weekend. What did you do with your day off yesterday?
I got my second jog of the week. Actually, probably the second jog of the year.
Whoa. Beautiful day for it. I love it.
30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Good for you, JC.
Need more.
All right. Well, start taking more days off. More time for John. I love it. What did you get to watch some baseball this weekend?
I did.
And what'd you think?
I don't know how they're winning these games without the offense, but it's been remarkable to watch the pitching. I mean, when you go back, they had that 9-8 game, which was the first game, I think, that Robinson Cano was missing. Since then, you know, they're 12-3, so they're 13-3 since having Cano gone. And after that stretch, they've only scored 42 runs in those 12 games, and they've given up 22. It's remarkable.
What was your takeaway, John? I was out, unfortunately, on Friday. Mm-hmm. You guys were watching a little bit of the mini camp or the OTA practice on Thursday. What were a couple of your biggest takeaways from the Seahawks OTA?
Russell Wilson looked really good. I mean, he's moving around well, seems to be working well with Brian Schottenheimer. Chris Carson looks sensational. He really looks like he's even quicker than last year. CJ Procise looked good. I think that you could see that there's also a very thin situation right now at defensive end because Deion Jordan didn't practice that particular day. Frank Clark took a voluntary pill, and so he wasn't there. So you can see that they're very thin at defensive end. I thought that Trey Flowers looked good, but overall, it's a different vibe there right now because, as I think Doug Baldwin said it the best, it's quieter because when you take away all the alpha males that are no longer there on defense, and it's just a quieter type of practice.
Yeah, you also now have a Frank Clark that you look in that defensive line room, John, and in his skill set and his productivity is pretty unique. He and his agent, I'm sure, are looking at that D-line room, absent Michael Bennett, absent Cliff Averill, and probably wanting their deal. Is there going to be any talk of an extension for Frank Clark?
Oh, there has to be, because, again, I think he's now one of the most important people to get a long-term deal with, because you can see that he gets better each year. Now he goes from being the number three pass rusher to the number one pass rusher. We'll see if he can meet that expectation. But no, I think that they've got to be talking to him. They've got to be talking to Tyler Lockett. I mean, those are two of the main free agents. And they'll have to get around to doing something with Dwayne Brown and then ultimately see where they stand with Earl Thomas.
I don't know, Mike, if you said this on Friday on the air, but we were just talking in the sports pit before the show. And this talk about voluntary, this is just a voluntary workout. This is just voluntary. Doesn't it change a little bit when you actually watch practice? They're in helmets. They're going full speed, John. They only get about 9 of these the entire offseason. Did that not look like a training camp practice to you?
Oh, it does. I mean, without the tackling, without the hitting.
They don't do that in training camp. They don't tackle. They don't hit anymore in training camp. No. It is that speed. It is that intensity. It is that workload. And you're deciding to basically just skip practice.
Mm-hmm. And it is important because, I mean, when you realize, particularly with new things that are being brought in by new coaches, that you kind of need to be there, but you're not going to have everybody there. Some people have contracts that they're thinking about. Sometimes they have other reasons not to be there.
Do you think Frank Clark wasn't there?
Contract.
Yeah.
So he's just not going to show up until they give him a new contract?
No. I'm sure that he's just trying to make a statement. At some point, he'll show up.
Why don't you make a statement, I want a new contract, by showing up to voluntary camp?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do a deal.
They won't do anything while he's not there.
Right.
But
I don't see how in what world that puts any pressure on a team to sign you to a contract.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't put pressure. It just points out that they want something, again, just go around the league. I mean, is Aaron Donald
there?
What
else would point that out is if you called and said, I want a new deal. I don't understand what possible value would be gained from missing a practice. I understand the whole holdout thing, and if you're willing to go all the way and try to hold out, I still don't think it'll work. But what possible value does Frank Clark gain from this?
I'll give you one, what John said, like how thin that group looks. That all of a sudden these coaches and the scouts and the GM are looking at this D-line group going, yeah, it's a little different without Frank out there. You know, at least, you know, representing that, just showing them that picture of what you are missing when I'm not there. Look how thin kind of the herd looks there.
It was Brandon Jackson and Jacob Morton were the starting defensive ends.
Yep. So I think that from a player perspective is, hey, this is my only chance to kind of show you and express to you how valuable I am to you. Go practice for 3 days and see what it looks like without me, and let's get back to this table and see if we can find a deal to get done. Speaking of getting back to the table, are you buying this this news out there, John, that some prominent NFL players are willing to boycott games next year if Kaepernick and Reed are not back in the league?
I don't buy that, no. I mean, who's going to lose that kind of money for Colin Kaepernick? Again, Colin Kaepernick may have the support of some, but I can't imagine taking to the point of boycotting. I know that players right now are very angry with the decision last week on the national anthem to have everybody out there, and of course you have to stay in the locker room, and it puts more pressure on players. I can understand that. There's more conversations. I mean, when you realize the season ended, there was like 10 players that weren't doing the national anthem, and now there's probably going to be more, but I can't see them taking it to an extreme of doing a boycott.
Wildcard time.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
If you had to choose between the two monsters, which would you choose, King Kong or Godzilla?
I would choose Godzilla because, he's got the fire. He can just burn you down. I mean, usually King Kong tends to win these because, again, he's so strong. Mm-hmm. But I tend to go with Godzilla because I think he just has more weapons. I mean, one, we know he's not going to win the arm battle because he just doesn't have much of an arm. He's just, he's got those little skinny things right there on the side
right, that
I guess are considered arms. But I think, the fact that he can just burn you down, I think gives him a big advantage.
Fire's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Always.
Fire breathing's... I mean, that wins 9 times out of 10, don't you think?
It's always been.
Yeah, because again, you don't even have to get close. I mean, King Kong, he's got to grab you and try to fight you. And
yeah, but what if
he
gets inside you? I mean, like they say with a boxer with a long reach, like if you can get inside them and start working the body, if King Kong can avoid the fire.
Right. Agility is a big deal, too.
Does that then give him an edge?
No, I give it to Godzilla. I think he has a big
It's always been a good battle.
You're a traditionalist.
How sore was the body, JC? 30-minute jog for the first time in some time.
Not
sore?
Pretty bad. Yeah.
Not too bad?
Yeah. No, pretty bad.
Oh,
yeah.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. John, we appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day, including your show at 10 o'clock. Danny, Dave, and Moore, of course, at 4 o'clock today. There's John Clayton. Text messages. The point is, on Frank Clark, why should I work more and harder if you're not going to pay me? Mm. Well, maybe my point is, why should I pay you if you're not going to work?
Yeah. Yeah, and you see players around the league do this, right? And the Steelers have had a number of players through the years, and the Steelers make it very clear, we're not going to negotiate. We're not going to do a deal unless you are here. But I do think from a player's perspective, especially in that room, Frank's looking at it going, Deion Jordan's knee's a little bulky, Bennett's out, Haverhill's done. Like, you got nothing, man. And I'm going to show it to you. Go on practice and see what it looks like without my skill set out there. And then if you don't want to talk to me or you're not answering my call, then, I'm going to continue to sit out. So from a player's perspective, that's about the only leverage that he can have in these situations.
Damn.
And you said it. I mean, it looks like practice. It feels like practice. It is scripted
it's
exactly like
me,
their training
it's
camp.
It's real
practice.
Hard for me to watch guys skip practice.
Yep.
It just feels like you're not bought in.
Yep, and they're going to say, if you're not...
And it's not just him. It's Byron Maxwell. I mean, it's Earl Thomas. It's anybody.
Well,
just
Maxwell makes no sense. He's got his contract, so maybe there was a different obligation there. But, yeah, Earl's trying to make his point, and
hard
certainly
for me,
Frank
man.
Is well.
That's really hard for me, and it has been for a while, and this idea that it's voluntary, it just doesn't work once you see it. And I honestly believe that everybody out there who texts in and says it's voluntary, it doesn't matter. If you could watch it, you would feel differently. And it's one of those rare I try to never drop that. We have the incredible access to get to watch some of these things at times. And if you were out there on Thursday and you watched it live, you would say, yeah, they got to be here. This is practice. They're hurting the team by not being here.
Yep.
And it's just a bummer. Does it make you feel better that Tom Brady skipped camp? No, not really. I mean, he should be there too. And the fact that he's protesting and upset with Bill Belichick, I don't think that's good for them.
Nope.
And no, but that's not my concern. The concern is Frank Clark and Byron Maxwell and the guy Earl Thomas and the guys here. So, all right, let's move on. Coming up next. Brock, we like to do good news, bad news, no news daily at 8:45. But when things go as well as they have recently, we have a takeoff we've used in the past, and we'll use it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Brock and Salk, good morning. How is everybody doing here? Day after Memorial Day, short week for everybody, which is half the fun of a long weekend, and things are great. Things are great in Marinersville as they just continue to win, man, every night. It is almost just the norm now. Find a way to get behind early, find a way to come back late, walk-off wins, the whole deal. And when everything goes right, Brock, we break out something we don't use that often. This is not a regular feature, not a regular occurrence. It takes something special to make a
good news. Yeah! Good news. Good news. Good news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Good news, good news, good news. We started this years ago to remind people that things were more positive than they thought.
Yeah, I think this was with the Seahawks.
It was a Seahawks thing originally.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, wait, the Seahawks are actually good, even though we're mad at them for all these different things. But like, look at all these things they're doing. And so, good news, good news, good news,
good news, good news, good news.
All right, let's point this one out. The Mariners are 11-3 since Robinson Cano got hurt. They are 10-3 since the news came out of his suspension.
Coincidence?
Why do you think that is?
They played some bad baseball teams.
That's true.
Helps.
It's really helped a lot.
It's not the month of June, which is looming with the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Angels, the Astros, the Yankees, the Red Sox. Yeah.
11-3 since Cano.
Yeah.
Do you think it's related?
Oh, I think there's something to be said that everybody else got to pick up their game. You know, when Salky's out, you got to pick up the game. When Brock and Salk are out, Lydia and Stace got to pick up the game. And they do. And I think there is something to be said for that. That is remarkably good news.
Good news, good news, good news.
The Mariners are 13 games over 500 for the first time since the start of play on September 20th of 2014. But this 53-game start goes all the way back to 2003. Like, if you want to look at how this thing is gone, that's what you, 15-plus years. Nearly that 17-year playoff drought. That's where you've got to spin it back to see a team that's played at this level in so many different ways and sits just a game back from the Houston Astros.
Woohoo! Bang, bang.
Good news, good news, good news.
Forgot about that one.
Is that caffeinated Graz, by the way?
Woohoo! Bang, bang.
Similar to promiscuous Graz. Jerry DePoto pulled off a great trade on Friday. Managed to deal a whole lot of nothing. A guy in Andrew Moore that you've seen been pretty unimpressed with, and brought back two players that are good and are exactly what you needed. Denard Span, the outfielder, who will get a lot of playing time in left field. And then also Alex Colome, who can really lock down an eighth inning for a team that now gives you a lot of options for Scott Service, etc. But one of the cool stories that came out of it was this. Jerry DePoto, speaking on his Wheelhouse podcast, explained that as much as he was excited when he had asked D. Gordon about potentially trading for Denard Span, D. Gordon was even more excited. Listen to this.
I did share this with D. Gordon, knowing that he knew Denard a little bit. And what do you think about the idea of acquiring Denard Span? And immediately his eyes almost, you know, came out of his head. He said,
bang!
He said, are you serious? I said, yeah, that's the idea. And he said, unbelievable guy. What a pro. He fits in our clubhouse. And so today, when we actually did push this deal across the goal line, I did not call Denard. D called Denard and then handed me the phone. Yeah. You know, and D said, he spoke to Denard and then said, I'm going to pass the phone to Jerry. And that was that. And what is a classy response to being traded? I think Denard said, it's really nice to be wanted.
Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool story. I love these things. The little behind-the-scenes stories of the way the Mariners are operating right now, they're almost as much fun as what's going on the field.
Yeah, that's the Wheelhouse podcast. That is a must-listen. Jerry and Goldie have got a good little relationship, and that's a podcast worth listening to for sure. Bang!
How excited we are!
The Mariners, how about this? I mentioned this at the top of the show. Earned their 16th comeback win of the season. Their 16th comeback win of the season of their 33. So nearly half their wins this season have been of the comeback variety. And their third comeback win in the last three games. Mariners, in fact, 16 comeback wins are second only to the Boston Red Sox. And they've taken the lead in the sixth inning or later in 14 of those occasions.
That's crazy.
Remember in the heyday of this sports city, when it was at its very best. It was, you know, Soto mojo. Things are going to happen. Was it two outs? So what? And obviously finish with the Seahawks. It's been all about finish, 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 finish. It's all about finish for these Mariners. It's getting to that bullpen and having the confidence in one another that no matter what the odds, no matter what the scoreboard says, you have the ability to come back, and they've proven that through 53 games.
Good news, good news, good news.
I really enjoy that. You know who's been great throughout all of this? Edwin Diaz. Gets his 19th save of the season yesterday. He's tied with Colorado's Wade Davis for major league lead in saves, but more than anything, 12 of those 19 saves have come in one-run games. Most in the majors, and in those 12 games, he's allowed one hit and three walks and struck out 25. When it gets to be difficult, he seems to like just up his game. It's been tremendous to watch everything we've seen from Edwin Diaz. Brock, you said he was probably the guy more than anybody who has kept this team where they are.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue. I mean, he has just been so dominant at the end of the game that if you figure, all right, we can just get to that point, Diaz will find a way to win it, and it seems like he's done that every time.
There's something to be said in sport that, and I think even in professional sports, when you look around, you're like, man, that's a one percenter right there. And whether it's his speed or, you know, Nelson Cruz in his prime of prime hitting a baseball, they're just different. Even on an elite roster of the 25 best in the world at it per team, like, that guy is just different. And Diaz is just different. And you see that with even Cole May come over here, who has got a pretty elite stuff. And that's just another gear. I mean, the swing at the at-bat, the Oakland A's second baseman, the guy's having a great season. He was off on one of Eddie's sliders the other night by like 2 feet. Like, it honestly looked like you or me swinging the bat. It was 2 feet away from the ball. His ability to humiliate somebody else is just unique.
One on and two outs. Pitch on the way to Gallo. Swing and a towering pop-up behind the bag at second. Shallow center. Romine going out. Heredia coming in. Heredia's there and he makes the catch and the ball game is over.
He is embarrassing people, and it's funny. The Rangers had their one club left in the bag, right? Like, we can play the Gallo card at some point. Yeah, whatever, dude. It's Edwin Diaz. Good luck with that. Yeah, maybe if you get him early in the game, they should have used that card earlier against one of the other relievers. Because right now against Diaz, I don't think anybody has a chance.
Good news, good news, good news.
All those years of talking about, man, is it the talent or is it the development? Is it the talent or is it the development? What is it here, the chicken or the egg? What is the challenge we're having? And we talked about this last week, really over the last few weeks. The development of these young players is so crucial that you've got 55% of your roster that's locked in and set, right? That is dead weight. But the other part, 45%, the Hanegers of the world, the Diazes of the world, and how about the Marco Gonzalez's of the world? Not allowed an earned run in his last 19 starts. Kudos to you. This comes from Luke Arkins on Twitter, a guy that you and I follow. We love his stuff. Since April 24th in those seven starts, Marco's pitched average per start 6 2/3.
Bang!
34 strikeouts and just 12 walks and a 2.09 ERA. Like, he's striking people out. Remember, it was a 5-plus, 6 ERA last year. He couldn't get to a fifth inning.
Right.
And you and I said, how is this guy ever going to get people out in the big leagues?
6-7 innings seems like almost
every single time. How is he going to get somebody actually out in the big leagues?
Yeah, it's been a really interesting combination, too, with his cut fastball, and then using that curveball to get ahead of guys. He's been fun to watch.
The 2-2. Strike three called. He freezes him. Gets him looking at a changeup lower outside corner. Third strikeout on what has been a very effective day for Marco Gonzalez.
Yeah, in fact, he hasn't allowed an earned run, Brock, in his last 19 and a third innings pitch. That's how good he's
almost
been.
Five strikeouts in those seven outings per outing. Almost five strikeouts per game for a guy last year without a cutter, without so much of this arsenal that just couldn't get it done. And this year, he has been a remarkable story.
Yeah, let's throw out one other name just to give him some credit. Actually, we should probably have Lydia say his name because she says it better certainly than I do. But Guillermo Heredia has reached base safely now via hit or a walk in seven consecutive games, 11 of 12. In the last 13 games, which is basically since Robinson Cano went out, he's hitting .350 with five runs scored, three doubles, a triple, three driven in, seven walks. He has been electric. And when you needed somebody to add to the top of that order, like, oh, look, you know what? Everyone at the top of the order is dropping like flies. First is D. Gordon, then it's Segura. Yeah, just put Heredia up there. He'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he has. He's really acquitted himself quite well in virtually every scenario. So
and keep taking advantage of these bad baseball teams. keep taking advantage of these Rangers. Keep taking advantage of these Twins. Keep taking advantage of this month and this homestand, which is exactly what they're doing.
All right, that's good news, good news, good news. Always fun when things are going as well as they are right now for the Mariners. We'll talk a little more about them with John Morosi coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, 20 minutes from now. Get a national perspective on the deal Jerry made and everything else going on with the M's. We'll do it right after Coors Light's Blue 42. Give me one Seahawks offensive lineman who's not quite ready to be out of the picture. Brock's got a name for you next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, GU corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, time for Coors Light's Blue 42. Good morning, everybody. Of course, we do this every day at 7:45. It's a chance to get a little bit of football injected into the morning. You know it's coming every day at this time. Then we'll get right back to the baseball and Mariners. Their great weekend, winning all four games over Memorial Day weekend. Home here for the rest of a nice, long homestand. Home all week, so good opportunity to get out to the ballpark. Brock, let's start here. Question number one. Frank Clark sits out voluntary workouts, was not there when the media was on Thursday. What does it mean?
It means bad news Bears. I mean, we just did good news, good news, good news. I would put this in bad news, bad news, bad news. And this is a page out of Marshawn Lynch's book. This is a page out of Michael Bennett's book. You know, Marshawn, I think, had an effect on Chris DeMichael in a very negative way. And you know, it took some time to purge that out of Chris DeMichael. I think he talked about that. You know, and I'm not saying this is all negative, that Michael Bennett was a bad teammate by any means. Michael Bennett got what he wanted, and that was a new contract. That was a third deal. That was some extra money. And Frank Clark is sitting here right now looking at that room and taking a page out of those guys' playbook. Show me the money. Pay me. We'll get a chance, I believe, this week and next week and then out at minicamp. And I really hope to see Frank Clark out there. I hope it was more of, you know, I'm not going to sit out every one of these, but I am going to remind you guys that I'm not happy and I would like to see a deal get done. And John Clayton says that's the highest priority. I think Dwayne Brown is number one, but Frank Clark's probably number two in that list. And if both sides are reasonable, there is enough cap space to get deals done with both of them. And I think that line of scrimmage still remains a priority.
All right, question number two. There's some question about this one because Bradley McDougal's sort of working at both safety positions. Earl Thomas wasn't there. I saw, it's funny, Danny and I were in here on Friday, Brock. And Danny was like, oh, yeah, I saw Bradley McDougal working a lot at free safety with Delano Hill at Strong. I was like, oh, that's weird. When I was watching, it was Bradley McDougal at Strong safety, and Kendrick Thompson was playing free. What do you make of the future here for Bradley McDougal?
Yeah, I think you better get him up to speed playing free safety. I think you've got other options there at strong safety, and in particular, Delano Hill. I don't think a Tedrick Thompson doesn't have quite enough twitch, you know, to do what, you know, was talked about of being able to Bobby Wagner go from one hash all the way to the other side. Tedrick Thompson can't do that. Bradley McDougal can't either, but I think he is savvy enough to know the game. McDougal was asked about, by the way, playing free safety and whether or not he and Earl have been in touch. I thought this was a pretty telling response from Mr. McDougal.
I've talked to Earl since this offseason began. We spoke on social media, we FaceTime, we text. You know, I give him his space as much as anybody else, but we've been in contact. He's let me know that he'll be back when the time is right, and when they get things worked out. You know, that's his personal business when it comes to his contract and things, but he's reassured me a couple times that he'll be back, and until then, my job is just keep these guys behind right, keep these guys at where they're supposed to be, and just keep these guys working hard so when he gets back, we get this thing fine-tuned.
Remember we just got done talking about those 1 or 2 percenters?
Mm-hmm.
And that Eddie Diaz is one of those guys?
Mm-hmm.
Earl Thomas is that guy.
Of course.
That of all, not even on the Seahawks roster, of all 32 safeties in the NFL, as Bobby Wagner said, is just very few that can ever do what he can do. And, you know, Earl's Eddie Diaz in that way. He throws 98 to 101. In that comparison, you know, a McDougal probably is like low 90s. Maybe even 93, 94, mostly because of his veteran savvy. Tedrick is going to have to do it differently. He's going to have to do it with a lot of off-speed pitches. And that's why you can get all...
Can he do that if you don't give him a chance to do it? Like, isn't that one of those things you have to get thrown in order to do?
Yes, and I think Tedrick is one of those that will be a better gamer than he will a practice player, if that makes any sense. That he has a feel and an instinct to play the game. He was such a playmaker at Colorado in that way. That in practice, against the elite speed that you're going to see, man, it is hard to do that day in and day out when you just don't have 4-4 kind of juice. So Yeah, I think we'll continue to see the shuffle until Earl comes back, if and when he does decide to show.
All right, question number three. It's interesting watching the Seahawks offensive line with a couple guys out. No Fluker, Fetty wasn't really practicing, so there were some names that, you know, you're probably not going to see in the season out there actually working. George Fant's still not ready to go. Any thoughts on where that offensive line will end up right now?
Yeah, there's a graphic Pro Football Focus put it out. The Seahawks could be one of the teams that have four of their five offensive line starters from a year ago return. Obviously, Justin Britton, Dwayne Brown, and then on the right side, Posick and Effetti. And that would be saying something. That would be a stark contrast to all the years of turnover after turnover after turnover. But there's one name I'm not giving up on.
Of course, they'll be
on.
Doing a different system. But
They will. Yeah. So it's not perfect. No. Nor ideal. But the one guy I'm not going to quite forget about is Reece Odhiambo. That you know, as far as this system, if they're going to truly play a little bit more power, which is what he did at Boise, where you're going to block down, where you're going to use some strength and athleticism, and you're not going to ask him to have to just zone block and be totally instinctual and get to second level. Is that, no, I just want you to mash some people, or I want you to pull around and be willing to kind of express that contact. He's a guy throughout training camp I'll keep an eye on, because I think he's a tough dude, and I think his skill set may fit better in this system in some ways than it did in Tom Cable's.
That is today's Coors Light's Blue 42, so you're not going to forget about him, huh?
I'm not going to forget about
him. I mean, we've heard that from you before.
But forget Mark Lowe.
I'm not just going to forget Mark Lowe. I think he's a unique talent.
All right. Forget Mark Lowe. Forget Reece Odhiambo.
As funny as that came out of my mouth, I was like, I've said that before.
But forget Mark Lowe.
I'm not just going to forget Mark Lowe. I think he's a unique talent.
You know what's extra funny, too, about this is when I was down there.
He bounced around the league, by the way, for about 8 years.
He came back to the Mariners like 3 months.
And was good. Yes. And was good when he came back.
But forget Mark Lowe.
I'm not just going to forget Mark Lowe.
Wasn't he pitching in the minor leagues for the Mariners like last year?
He might have been, sure. Yeah, he was up either last year or the year before.
Didn't he pitch like in the World Series with the Rangers, I believe?
He's a unique
talent.
But
forget Mark Lowe.
I'm not just going to forget Mark Lowe. I think he's a unique talent, Mike. I think he is a unique talent in that bullpen, and there's a reason the Texas wanted him. Okay, 98 and 99 with his slider and his stuff. I don't just see that growing on trees. I don't see that growing in every organization. I just don't.
It's now growing in quite literally every
To be fair to Brock.
That's a good analysis.
Bullpens weren't quite at the point.
It's true. No, they weren't.
It's all true. Every bullpen was stacked with that.
You're right,
Kyle.
That.
Oh, you shut up back there, Howdy. You stop giggling like
it's
a
still,
hyena.
It's still really funny.
That's so freaking funny.
It really is.
And Paisley, too, like, oh, just keep going. This is great.
Paisley's just egging it on.
In his little just chick indie music kind of way. No, it's just great.
You know what's funny is when I was over there on Thursday, I saw Reece Odhiambo practicing. I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about Reece Odhiambo. And I know you're not just going to forget him.
I'm just not going.
But I clearly had. John Morosi will join us from MLB Network in just a couple of minutes, get a sense as to what the Mariners did with this trade on Friday, what it can mean for them moving forward, and what kind of shot they've really got. It's all up next here. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.